الحمد لله، الحمد لله الكريم المنان الذي أكرمنا بالشهر رمضان وفتح لنا فيه أبواب الجنان. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمدًا عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه. فاللهم صلِّ وسلِّم وبارِك على حبيبنا ونبينا محمدٍ وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وعلى من تبعهم بإحسانٍ إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. وقال الله عز وجل في شان حبيبه مخبرا وآمرا: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصل عليه. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. Infinite praise and glories for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who will be bestowing us the beautiful and sacred month of Ramadan, within which the beautiful gates of Jannah will be flung wide open for his true believers. And salutations and peace and blessings be upon the noble messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and upon his pure and noble family, and upon the righteous companions and all of those who follow sincerely in the footsteps of Islam. Alhamdulillah, we are a few days away from the blessed month of Ramadan, and this is a day in which we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his strength and for the ability to fulfill the rites of Ramadan during the days and during the nights. And ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers us with his mercy, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers us with his forgiveness, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pardons us and protects us from the fire of hell during the sacred month of Ramadan. Ameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the glorious and most noble and timeless Quran states, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. That, O you who believe, so this is an address to all of the people of Iman, specifically the Muslims, that if you believe in me and if you claim to follow my commands, then this is something I want to share with you. What is that? Fasting is prescribed for you. كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ, as it was prescribed for those before you. And we know from the traditions of different religions, they had some form and some manner of fasting, whether it was half a day, whether it was the entire day, and sometimes even for 24-hour periods and even longer. Nevertheless, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is giving us something which is beneficial for us, something that will increase our taqwa, increase our iman, increase our nearness and proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the primary objective of the month of Ramadan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shares with us in this beautiful verse of the Quran is لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you may become more mindful, more aware, more conscious of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you understand who you are in this world, in this place, in this community and the purpose of your life, and you realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always there, hearing you, seeing you, knowing exactly what you are doing. Unfortunately though, as the month of Ramadan arrives every year, we generally go through the same routine, that we forget about Ramadan after it has passed. And then when the next year comes, suddenly we realize, oh my God, that Ramadan is here. It's going to be in a few days. And some people have this anticipation and they are eager. And they want the month of Ramadan to come because they have been preparing sincerely for the arrival of Ramadan. And other people are sir pakarki, as they say, they hold their head and think, oh, Ramadan is here again. So for these people, Ramadan does sneak upon them. And they are generally caught off guard because they have not been adequately preparing for the sacred nights and days of Ramadan. And the goal and objective of Ramadan is to achieve this God conscientiousness and taqwa. And those people who achieved it in the previous year continuously remain conscious and aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But those people who did not achieve this taqwa during the month of Ramadan in previous years, then they think, oh my God, now we have to go through this again. So it is that core objective, the core goal of achieving taqwa, God conscientiousness and awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the goal of fasting is to cultivate, which means to nurture, which means to give water to and strengthen and imbibe within your heart taqwa, which is God conscientiousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, he mentions what taqwa actually is. He gives an explanation. He says taqwa is to create a barrier. To create a barrier between yourself and the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is that antivirus, or it is that protective field that will protect you from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How is that? By following the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and abstaining from the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is in a nutshell what taqwa is. That when you follow the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your abilities, and you also keep away from all of the haram things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited from, then that enables you to create this barrier which protects you from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So throughout the year, when you see a police officer, when you see a person of authority and they are in front of you or behind you, you be careful of how you carry yourself, the language and how you drive your car and all of these things, because you are you have this taqwa, you have this consciousness, you have this awareness, you have this mindfulness that somebody is there watching me, and if I do something wrong, I will be in trouble. And this is the same principle for Muslims, that throughout the year we always remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fulfill the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and keep away from zina, keep away from fornication, keep away from gambling, keep away from interest, keep away from backbiting, keep away from lying, keep away from all of those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited, in order for us to be protected within ourselves. So we are constantly aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us. So we refrain in this month of Ramadan from all of the halal things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has permitted us ordinarily. Halal things like food, halal things like water and drink, halal things like for those people who are married, all of these things which are halal during the month of Ramadan, because we want to develop taqwa, we obey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and avoid even all of the halal things during the days of Ramadan. But the question is that if you can achieve this particular goal of keeping away from even the halal things, then why is it not possible by default for you to keep away from the haram things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited throughout the year? Throughout the year. So this is something for us to reflect upon. And this is why the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam mentions that whoever does not leave the dialogue of falsity, jood, bakwas, makari, fareb, you know, all these lies and deceit and deception and such actions, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not require him to leave food and water for his sake. that if you can't keep away from the haram things, then what's the point of you keeping away from the halal things? It's like you are given an exam and you have three compulsory questions to answer and you have two or three optional questions to do. But you leave all of the compulsory questions and you only do the optional questions. Do you think you will pass that examination? What do you think the examiner will think about your paper? Of course they'll throw it away. They'll think, if this person doesn't put the effort and energy into answering the compulsory questions, then how can he ever pass just by doing the optional things? So just by understanding this particular concept, that if you do not leave all of the haram things during the month of Ramadan, then you not eating and you not drinking is actually of no benefit to you and will not benefit you in the hereafter, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no need for your fast. So fasting is to create that discipline and that awareness within yourself to not only obey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but to also ensure that you keep away from all of the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the primary objective is that taqwa, is that understanding of obeying the commands and keeping away from the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to create that barrier between you and the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the primary objective of fasting in the month of Ramadan. And then the second thing that you also achieve during the days and nights of Ramadan is patience. And the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam has stated that fasting is half of patience. Because we have patience during the day, and what is the result? You have iftar and you are rewarded with iftar. When we fast during the entire month of Ramadan, then we are rewarded with the day of Eid al-Fitr. And likewise, if we spend a lifetime in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the reward of that obedience will be none other than entering into the gardens of paradise. So everything requires effort, and the reward always comes after you have exerted your effort. So patience is another key thing that we learn during the month of Ramadan, that you have to do something first in order for you to achieve or ask or demand something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fasting during the day to get your iftar, during the month to get your Eid al-Fitr, and obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the month of Ramadan, and also throughout the year that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, and throughout your life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you, then and only then will you be a worthy recipient of receiving Jannatul Firdaus, the gardens of paradise, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the effort comes first, and then the reward comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in order for you to achieve the reward, what do you require? You require patience. You require perseverance. You require that discipline and that control and that management on your nafs, on your tongue, on your eyes, on your nose, on your ears, on your hands and your feet, and all of these aspects of your body, in order for you to truly achieve patience and for you to achieve that reward which is waiting for you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the third thing that you also learn during the month of Ramadan is an anecdote, i.e. how to protect yourself from greed. And this is a major thing in the world that we are living in: greed of wealth, greed of food, of consumption, of property, of so many other things. And in the du'as of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he also used to do a du'a to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a heart, and to seek protection from a heart that is never satisfied. And we know what the Prophet ﷺ was referring to here, that you can have one house, but you'll always want a bigger house. You can have one car, you'll always want a better car, a more modern car. You can have one phone, you'll always want the latest technology. You have one child, and you always compete, and your heart will never be satisfied. But the month of Ramadan teaches you to be satisfied with a little bit of food at suhoor, to be satisfied with a little bit of water during suhoor, for you to be satisfied with the energy that you have throughout the day, and for you to use that energy and utilize that energy in the zikr and remembrance and shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for you to remember for those people who are less fortunate throughout the world, and for you to control your greed, whether of wealth, whether of fame, whether of power, whether of anything else. So after the 11 months of demanding, because that's all we do outside the month of Ramadan, what is Shawwal, what is Zulqa'dah, Zulhijjah, Muharram, and all of these 11 months that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, what do we do as human beings? We always expect and we continuously demand more and more and more. Clothing, food, drink, and better lifestyle. We expect more, but Ramadan teaches us to suffice on little, to suffice on less, and to be satisfied with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. So this is also another important lesson in the month of Ramadan, apart from cultivating that taqwa and creating the barrier between you and the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by obeying His commands and avoiding His prohibitions and learning patience during the month of Ramadan, that you have to put in the effort in order for you to receive the reward during Sahri, and then you have Iftari for the month of Ramadan, and then you have Eid for the entire life in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order for you to get Jannah, and also for you to suffice on little in the month of Ramadan and for you to be satisfied with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed you with. And then to have appreciation for all of the in'amat, for all of the blessings, for all of the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a very key and important aspect, because we only appreciate when there is an opposite of something. You appreciate the day when you have gone through the entire night in darkness. Or especially those people in third world countries when they have no electricity whatsoever and they have a glimmer of hope during the day. And you only appreciate the value of health when you have returned back from ill health. And likewise, we can only truly appreciate the value of food and water when we are deprived of these favors and blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then perhaps you will be grateful. So you can see how all of these things are interlinked, that when you develop taqwa within your heart by obeying the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and avoiding His prohibition, then patience is a natural step to the next, to getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then it also gives you the ability to overcome your innate greed of wanting more all the time, and also enables you to be more grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the things that you have and for the things that so many other people throughout the world do not have. So these were some of the core lessons that I wanted to share with you on what you can potentially achieve in the month of Ramadan. But more importantly, we come on to a very, very key aspect and the core of the message of Ramadan, which is to connect back with the majestic Quran, the majestic Kalam, and the timeless speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after a year of disconnect for the majority of us. Last time we probably sat down and dedicated our time and our energy and our efforts was in the previous Ramadan, or perhaps when somebody passed away, and that's when we actually come and we do something about it. Other than that, it may very well be true that we have disconnected from the Quran for an entire year. So the month of Ramadan, especially this month of Ramadan, you have the opportunity to reconnect with the Quran. You can do this in three very, very simple steps. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He reminds us that this is the night, or this is the month within which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the glorious and majestic Quran. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatul qadr. And we know that the laylatul qadr was in the month of Ramadan. So this is a very, very important month for Muslims, because it is the beginning of the revelation of the Quran. It was also the beginning of the prophethood of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. It is also the beginning of Islam as a religion that we have here today. This is when our formation took place, when the revelation of the Quran was descended from the heavens onto the tender and beautiful heart of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. In the mount, in the cave of Hira, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam would go there for seclusion, go there for the reflection and the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this month, where will you go is the question that you have to ask yourself. Will you hibernate within one of your rooms, within your home, or somewhere in your office? Or will you come to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for much needed seclusion, for a retreat, for the zikr and the remembrance and the reflection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And perhaps by you making this active effort, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open up your heart and illuminate your heart and also your mind as well. This is the month within which Jibreel alayhi salam would descend from the heavens every single year, and he would sit down with the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, and they would revise the Quran with one another. Jibreel alayhi salam would recite a portion, then the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam would recite a portion of the Quran. What a beautiful sitting, what a beautiful gathering that you can only imagine. And this is something that you need to try to develop within your home. Sit down with your wife, sit down with your children, let them recite unto you, and you in turn recite unto them, just the way the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam would recite to Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam. You can only imagine the barakah that would descend upon both. So this particular month of Ramadan, we need to have this laser focus, to focus entirely and dedicate ourselves on the beautiful Quran, to read the Quran to the best of our abilities, to understand the Quran and what the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling and instructing us to do, the commands and prohibitions, to also listen to the Quran, to memorize the Quran. And when you do all of these things, then inshaAllah al-Aziz, it will enable you to apply the beauty of the Quran and then to transform yourself, just the way the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam transformed himself, and then also transform an entire peninsula, the Arabian Peninsula, all of the people of Makkah and Medina. And till today, you see people are being transformed by the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to sit down, just the way the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam sat down, away from all of the distractions of the world, and he sat down, it was just him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, him and the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and really connect ourselves with the beautiful Quran of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want to save yourself, if you want to be transformed, if you want to purify yourself, if you want to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it can only be via the blessed Quran of Allah Almighty. So the first step that we all need to do, and make sure we have these goals in the month of Ramadan, is to make sure that you read an entire khatam of the Quran, which means you begin from Fatiha and you end all the way to Wannas. This is a very, very important objective to have, the minimum objective that every single one of us should attempt to achieve in the month of Ramadan. You have 30 days and 30 nights, and it is not an insurmountable thing to achieve. It's a very easy target and objective for you to achieve, to complete the entire khatam of the Quran. And just like anything in life, when you want to achieve something, what do? You plan, you sit down, you prepare, and then you persist in trying to achieve your particular goal and your objective. So this is the exact same thing that you have to do. That every single day, you have to make sure that you dedicate with every single salah, at least 3 to 4 pages. If you recite a minimum of 3 to 4 pages a day, you can very easily complete one sparah a day. And over 30 days, you complete 30 sparah very, very easily. And if for some unforeseen reason, you are unable to continue with that, then you make sure that you make it up in the next salah, or in the next salah, or before you go to bed, or when you wake up in the next day. So it's important for you to make a plan, because those who fail to plan, then they will plan to fail in their life. So we have to make sure that we plan our days and our nights in the correct manner, and never reduce your goal. The bare minimum that we should all be completing in the month of Ramadan is the entire recitation of the Quran. So when something goes to the side, then make sure you push yourself, and you make sure you push your family as well, to get back onto the path of completing an entire recitation of the Quran. And then with the recitation of the Quran is the understanding, the fahm, which is an integral part of our deen. So every day we should try to make sure that we read the summaries of the particular surahs, especially those surahs that are going to be recited each night in the masjid. Make sure that you spend some time in understanding, because bifahmin is very, very important, to understand, read the Quran, but with understanding is very, very important. So to go over the summaries of those particular surahs. And if you're unable to do so, then every single day, inshallah al-Aziz, throughout the month of Ramadan, after Salatul Asr, I will be going through a thematic summary of every single surah of the Quran, the core of that surah, and all of the revolving ayahs that are around it, those things which related to justice, related to economy, related to social life, and various other aspects. Inshallah al-Aziz, I'll be doing that daily summary of the surah from the beginning of Ramadan till the end of Ramadan. So you should make sure that you participate in that or listen at home as well, so you can increase your understanding and then as a result also increase your connection and taqwa to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then to also listen to the Quran, so to read with understanding, but also to listen to the Quran, which is part of that beautiful tradition of listening of Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam, listening to the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam listening to Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam. And even throughout the life of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, he would just ask the Sahaba ikram, you recite this, you recite that, because it moves the heart. It makes the heart tender and it makes your heart shake when you truly listen to the Quran with a sincere heart. So first of all, make sure that you do not miss your Taraweeh. Taraweeh is a very, very important part of the month of Ramadan. And make sure that you listen to your spouse reading the Quran. You listen to your children as well. And try to listen to a recitation within the home when you're driving to work, when you're coming back to work, wherever you may be. We have our earphones. We have so many opportunities. Make sure that rather than listen to anything else, you should be listening abundantly to the recitation of the Quran. And discard your normal audio books and your podcasts and your music and everything else that you ordinarily do, and devote every moment that you have to listening to the glorious and the majestic kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, the Quran is a living thing. It's not just an arbitrary thing. It's not just a book that we just consider, that we pick up and we put it on our shelf and that's it, we leave it for the rest of the year. No, it's a living thing. And just like with all living things, that if you want to create a relationship, then you have to spend time with your loved ones. If you want to be closer to somebody, you have to know the ins and outs, their likes and their dislikes. And similarly, if you want to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to read the Quran, you have to understand the Quran, you have to listen to the Quran, you have to strengthen your relationship with the Quran, understand the commands and the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And only then, when you spend time and dedication and devote yourself to the Quran, only then will the Quran open up its blessings and mercies and rahmah, and then you will be protected and illuminated. But this requires dedication and time and effort and sincerity on your behalf. When the Sahaba ikram did that, look at what they achieved during the first few centuries of Islam. But when you go further and further away, then you will not achieve success, because our success is connected to the Quran. The Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam has mentioned in Sahih Hadith that this nation will be raised because of the Quran. And this nation will be debased, I go towards decadence and destruction, when they move away from the Quran. So it's important for you to remain sincere and faithful to the Quran and understand it as much as possible and recite it and listen to it as well. And then the third step, because remember I mentioned three steps. Third step is to memorize as much as you can, because we are the carriers of the Quran. We not only read it for ourselves, but we also make sure that we carry the majestic Quran and we share the beauty of the Quran with other people as well. So we need to try to every single day memorize a small portion of the Quran, a few verses of the Quran, little by little. Inshallah al-Aziz, we can go towards completing the entire Quran. Bare minimum, you should try to learn Suratul Fatiha, the first 5-6 verses of Suratul Baqarah, the last 2 verses of Suratul Baqarah, Suratul Mulk, Suratul Yasin, and Suratul Kahf. These are the bare minimum essential surahs, major surahs that we should know in the Quran, apart from the last 10 to 20 surahs, Juz Amma. This is something that you need to make sure that you have in your heart to memorize with and keep in your heart. Why? Because when the Quran is there in your heart, then it will become a means of illumination within your grave. It will become a means of protection in your grave. And it will do your shafa'a on the day of Qiyamah, because you preserved it and protected it and you shared it with the dunya. So this is why it's very important for us to understand all of these things. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us all to understand the core objectives and the purpose of Ramadan, which is to develop taqwa, which is that barrier, and understand the commands and prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to develop patience and to be more grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and truly connect with the majestic Quran by following these three particular steps of reading, understanding, and then listening and memorizing the Quran as much as possible. Wa quli qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum, jazakumullahu khaira. Kuch elanat aap hazrat